Live from the CBS Bay Area studios, this is KPIX 5 News.
Now at 6, a sudden tragedy strikes the 49er family. The son of the team's owners and brother of the CEO has died at the age of 35. Good evening, I'm Brian Hackney.
And I'm Juliette Goodrich. The team announced this afternoon Anthony Tony York passed away yesterday. York was one of four children of team owners Denise DeBartolo York and John York, and the younger brother of 49ers CEO Jed York. Tony York was a tech entrepreneur and a philanthropist. He lived in Sausalito and was active in the nonprofit 49ers Foundation. His family released this statement today saying in part, quote, although our hearts are quite heavy at this time, we have so many special memories shared with him to carry us forward. Tony will forever be remembered as a bright, spirited entrepreneur with an unmatched passion to serve others. The statement did not give a cause of death. We reached out to the 49ers, but the team declined to give any additional comment this evening.
A new list is out tonight of Jesuit priests credibly accused of sex abuse. KPIX5's Devin Feely reports several of them are now living at a retirement retreat right here in the Bay Area.
The Jesuit Religious Order released the names of roughly 130 priests who have been credibly accused of abuse covering the western part of the United States. Most of those priests have died or been dismissed from the religious order. Those who have not reside here at a retreat center in Los Gatos.
The list of the accused stretches back nearly 70 years to 1950, an apparently exhaustive accounting that advocates for survivors of church abuse say is long overdue.
I'm always happy when they release the names. It helps survivors heal. A lot of times a victim will think that they are the only ones.
The release of the names of Jesuit priests accused of abuse comes on the heels of the release of similar information from the San Jose Diocese in October. In a prepared statement, the head of the West Province of the Jesuit Order, which covers 10 states, including California, wrote, "It is inconceivable that someone entrusted with the pastoral care of a child could be capable of something so harmful. Yet, tragically, this is part of our Jesuit history, a legacy we cannot ignore."
It's a lifelong scar. It doesn't go away. You can learn to live with it, but it's always there.
The overwhelming majority of the priests named in the report have died or been dismissed from the Jesuit Order. Seven, however, have been removed from active ministry, but are still being housed here at the Sacred Heart Jesuit Center nestled in the Los Gatos Hills, which victim advocates say is troubling.
From what I know about the Jesuit Center in Los Gatos, there's very little supervision of the men who are on this list who are living there. And that's a concern. It should be a concern for the public.
We did make several attempts to contact the Jesuits directly for comment today. Those calls, however, went unanswered. In Los Gatos, Devin Feely, KPIX 5.
Today marks 1 month since the deadly campfire broke out in Butte County and decimated the town of Paradise. The devastating wildfire destroyed more than 13,000 homes and killed 85 people. Tonight, six people are still unaccounted for. California Attorney General Javier Becerra toured the damaged area yesterday, and this week a federal judge asked Becerra to weigh in on PG&E's potential role in sparking the firestorm and whether poor equipment maintenance would be considered a crime. According to Chico's Enterprise Record newspaper, Becerra is still considering how to respond. One of the many businesses destroyed by the campfire is actually located about 200 miles from the burn zone. A Central Valley insurance company can't pay out all the claims it's expecting from policyholders in Butte County. But reporter Natalie Grande tells us fire victims won't be left out in the cold.
Known as one of the deadliest fires in California history, the campfire left thousands of people without homes. The damage is so devastating, it put a Merced County insurance company out of business.
It completely overwhelms this company, looking at the number of claims that they would have, and it has left them insolvent.
State regulators are taking over Merced Property and Casualty Company because they can't pay out all the expected claims from the massive fire. A judge approved the liquidation proceeding on Monday at the Merced County Superior Courthouse. Documents state the company faces about $64 million in outstanding liabilities located in Paradise, but their assets are compromised at approximately $23 million. A spokesperson for the Department of Insurance says the company had 200 200 policies in Butte County, but doesn't know how many people impacted by the fire held insurance with the company.
No one can remember a time when a property casualty company has gone insolvent, and we haven't seen a company that is in a similar financial situation, so I think people can rest assured that things are fine.
The company's website posted a notice about the liquidation order. However, no one at the site would comment on the insolvency or how many employees work at the business. The California Insurance Guarantee Association will now start to take over the claims and work with policyholders. We spoke with the executive director of SIGA, and he believes a big reason for the insurance company's closure comes down to location.
It was heavily concentrated in the Sacramento Central Valley and didn't write in other places, so it didn't have a lot of spread of risk.
That was Natalie Granda reporting. Now, the California Insurance Guarantee Association hopes to have information on the claims by Monday so it can begin working to assess the damage.
Well, one family who returned to what is left of their home in Paradise had a surprise waiting for them. That. It's Madison, an Anatolian shepherd found protecting the property while patiently waiting for the owners to return. It was a local rescue group that first spotted the dog. They left food and water for him until the evacuations were lifted. Amazingly, the owner's other dog, Miguel, also survived the inferno. The same rescue group tracked him down at a shelter.
Well, a neighborhood of tiny homes will provide some much-needed relief for homeless veterans in Santa Rosa. Kelly Moore Paints provided this video of local workers putting the finishing touches on the Veterans Village. The project broke ground this past summer on county-owned land just north of Santa Rosa. It will soon provide 14 tiny homes for veterans, each under 300 square feet. Residents will also receive rental assistance and other support services. On any given night, there are approximately 400 veterans in Sonoma County who don't have a home to sleep in.
Tonight, new voter turnout numbers show that about two-thirds of people registered in California actually cast ballots in the midterm elections. Secretary of State's office says turnout was about 64%, the highest figure for a midterm since 1982. It's still lower than in presidential election years when turnout usually exceeds 70%. Nearly 12.7 million people voted last month at polling places and by mail.
New trouble tonight for a troubled San Francisco neighborhood. The tech company giving up a big tax break to move out of mid-market.
Plus, the hard-drinking holiday tradition San Francisco loves to hate. We'll take you out to SantaCon, where they're really getting into the spirits of the season tonight.
And a salmon run right in the middle of downtown, the Bay Area city, where the creeks are clearing and the fish are flourishing.
And as we head outside tonight, it's getting a little bit foggy out there, and soon it'll be getting a little bit wet. We've got the forecast coming up after a break.